Alhamdulillah, once again we are indeed fortunate that we have with us another very great alim, and of course who needs no introduction whatsoever, and that is Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Patel Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, who is the younger brother of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. Maulana Ilyas Sahib is a very senior ustad in Talimuddin, teaching ahadith kitabs, and doing sterling effort. A lot of work he's doing, mashallah. Allah Ta'ala accept his efforts and growing him from strength to strength, inshallah. He's also the Khalifa of Hazrat Arif Billah, the Kim Akhtar Sahib, Damat Rahmatullahi Alayh. May Allah Ta'ala make maghfirat of all of mashayikh who have passed on. Inshallah, I call upon Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib to inspire us, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة عماد الدين من أقامها فقد أقام الدين ومن هدمها فقد هدم الدين أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, we have gathered so that we may revise some things about deen, some lessons that have been given to us in the Quran Sharif and in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is our intention, that is our purpose, and that is what we should have in our hearts and minds, so that we may learn something, and how each one of us, myself first and foremost, that what we speak and hear about, how we can bring this into our lives. Merely gathering for the sake of listening something or speaking something, that is not going to be of any benefit to us. But to gather for a purpose, for an objective, that something we must bring into our lives and change something for the better. Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq. The ayat of the Quran Sharif that was recited is something that we are all very familiar with. And in these ayat, this first ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala describes the miraculous journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa. And thereafter in the ahadith, that journey from Masjid al-Aqsa beyond the seven heavens that is described. Now the Quran Sharif doesn't discuss something just for some historical note. Something happened, so it has some historical significance, so it might be read about as some incident that happened. Maybe children might be tested for exams in the history paper, and that is it. And there it finishes off. The Quran Sharif gives us lessons in everything. And therefore, whether we discuss much of the incident itself or not, the issue is we need to take some lessons back. And hence we will try to take some lessons from these ayat of the Quran Sharif. What is the message Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving us? So in describing this miraculous journey, which was the greatest incident to ever happen in human history, a human being, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes him in a very short span of time from earth to beyond the seven heavens where no angel went. And then he comes back in that same night, in that short span of that short portion of that night. So this is a miracle which is unmatched. And therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala describes it by saying, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdi. That glory is to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this word Subhan is to already answer the various things that might come in the mind. That a person who might doubt this, how can this happen? Is it possible? In such a short span of time, I can't even go round the corner. And here beyond the seven heavens, is this something that can even be fathomed? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying Subhan. Allah ta'ala is free from every kind of deficiency, every kind of blemish, every kind of weakness. To doubt it is to doubt the qudrat of Allah ta'ala. To doubt it is to doubt the power of Allah ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala is answering that doubt already beforehand. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdi. As we said, this was an unmatched miracle. And Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being given this glory and this honor which nobody was given. Hazrat Jibreel sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of all the angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he comes to a point and says, this is my limit. I can't pass here also. Only for you now to go. Such a great event, such a great honor. So at such a time when this is being described, the greatest of titles will be bestowed upon that personality who was given this honor. Because this is the greatest event to have happened. And on this note, just to digress a little before getting to the point that we were discussing, that indeed that night on which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam undertook this journey of Isra and Mi'raj. Isra is the journey from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, to Masjidul Aqsa. And from Masjid al-Aqsa to the seven heavens and beyond is Mi'raj. That night, there can be no night compared to it. That night in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached that stage and position, ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّا فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَا فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. According to one tafsir, this is referring to the closeness that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got in terms of meeting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So there can be no night matched with that. That is beyond our imagination, the significance of that night. But at the same time, the point to clear in our minds is that that night happened once in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that physical journey happened once. And thereafter it didn't recur, it didn't happen again. And therefore there isn't any recurring virtue of that night. That is something we need to be very clear about. That like other occasions, the 15th of Sha'ban, the night of Qadr, these have recurring virtue. Every year, the virtue will recur. This happened once in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that occasion is beyond comparison. That night is beyond comparison. But there is no recurring virtue to that night. In any case, this incident, as we are explaining and discussing, that this was the unmatched level that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached. And having been granted this honor, when this will be described, then the greatest of titles will be bestowed upon the one that undertook this journey. And Allah ta'ala is mentioning the greatest title of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Glory be to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who took his abd, who took his slave. Can we imagine? All the titles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are there. His title of Rasul, his title of Nabi, and his title, all the various numerous titles that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bestowed on him in the Quran Sharif. And what is being selected to be mentioned on this occasion? Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Because there was no abd greater than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That abdiyat and that servitude, to the extent Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed it, nobody else came near it to. And having been the greatest abd, Allah ta'ala took him to the greatest level. And this is that lesson. If we take this one lesson home today, we embed this one lesson in our hearts. The lesson of this humility, of humbling ourselves. There was nobody more humble than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no greater abd than him. And he totally humbled himself despite being the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's creation. Ba'das khuda buzruk tu'i qissa mukhtasar. After Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the greatest rank is that of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is nothing further to add to it. That is it. There is nobody that can come anywhere close. And this greatest personality humbled himself the greatest. Look in the ahadith and see what kind of tawazu and humility Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam possessed. أَكُلُ كَمَا يَأْكُلُ الْعَبْدُ وَأَجْلِسُ كَمَا يَجْلِسُ الْعَبْدُ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I eat also, I eat like a slave eats. I sit like a slave. I am not a proud servant of Allah Ta'ala. I am not a proud person walking on this earth. I am a humble servant of Allah Ta'ala. In the midst of a gathering, a person comes and he grabs onto the sheet of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he jerks it with force, which because of its coarse edge, it leaves a mark on the Mubarak body of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says, Murli mimma lillah. Give me something from the wealth of Allah Ta'ala. And according to one narration, he even says, not your wealth, your father's wealth. Imagine ourselves being spoken to in a little bit of a harsh way. Somebody speaks some words which are not very palatable to us. What becomes our condition? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiles at him. Put ourselves in that moment, in that situation for a moment. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiles at him. Then he says, give him something. And he sends him off. Person asks, Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair, radiallahu anhu, reports, that somebody asked Hazrat Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Akana Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ya'malu fil bayt? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do anything in the house, any household chores he would help with. Who are we talking about? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who could have been busier than him? How did you say, I'm too busy? Well, I'm bringing everything, all the bank balance I'm filling, so the home, that's a different story. Who could have been busier than him? Who could have been under greater pressure than him? Who could have been under greater, having greater responsibilities than him? The responsibility of the entire ummah he had. And the fikr and concern of the entire ummah. And the effort for the entire ummah. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding him, Hazrat Aisha is being asked, radiallahu anha, would he work in the home also? She says, naam, yes. Kana yakhsifu na'alahu, wa yakhitu thawbahu, wa ya'malu fil bayt kama ya'malu ahadukum. And he would sometimes mend his own shoes. He would sew his own clothes. Something needs to be mended, something needs to be patched. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with a thread and needle in his hand, is patching his own garments. And he would work in the home like any one of you. She's talking to the people of that zamana. Now we say any one of you, we'll say we don't work, so now what you're talking about. So Aisha is saying, just as any of you would do something in the household, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest of all the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Sayyidul Qainat, and the Imamul Anbiya, and he is humbling himself to this extent to be also doing household things. And it is this humility that brings a person closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And when this humility is missing, that is where the problem starts setting in. And many problems can easily be resolved with this humility. And when the humility is missing, then small little problems also are mountains. It's impossible to solve it sometimes. Because nobody will want to humble themselves. Just to understand this from one incident in the hadith, that how easily tawazu brings back, insan is insan, human beings, we are all human beings, we all have emotions, feelings, and a person sometimes is totally cool, sometimes it's just as hot as anything, so the emotions rise and fall, this carries on. Sometimes in a person that emotion sometimes says something, does something, but if there's tawazu, then all that fizzles out in no time. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala on one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who is there with him. And on that rare occasion, Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu says something which was perhaps a little bit inappropriate. And sometimes when things are rare, then even on the one occasion too, it becomes a little bit more difficult to bathe on that immediate occasion, Hazrat Umar ibn Anu were upset about it. And because he got upset now, so he woke up and started walking away. Now, in that moment now, Hazrat Abu Bakr is senior. But he immediately realized that, no, what I said wasn't the appropriate thing. Wasn't the appropriate thing. Now that tawazu is there, that humility is there. So when he realized this, immediately he wakes up and he starts walking behind Hazrat Umar ibn Anu, please forgive me. Please forgive me. That word comes out and flows out of the tongue very easily when there's tawazu. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. At that time, Hazrat Umar ibn Anu was still overwhelmed with that emotion. So he just quietly carried on walking. And he walked and went away into his house. And he closed the door. When he closed the door, now what else is there to do? So the Bukhari now takes a U-turn and he comes to the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar was overcome with that emotion for that moment. But that tawazu was in him as well. He hardly now is just in his house and he realizes, subhanAllah, how could I have done such a thing? The man came walking behind me asking me for forgiveness and I didn't even reply. That tawazu is talking now. That humility is at the fore. He comes out of his house. He comes out looking for Abu Bakr ibn Anu. All this is tawazu in play. He comes to his house. He says, is he here? He says, no, he's not here. Well, if he's not here, there's only one other place he can be. In the meantime, Abu Bakr has come. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees him coming and he looks at him and he already can see something has happened. And he says, Amma sahibukum hada faqad ghamara. That your companion is coming, he has had some problem with somebody. Hazrat Abu Bakr comes and he explains, this is what happened. I said something inappropriate. But then I asked for forgiveness. He went away to his house. What could I do now? Nabi Islam says, Ghafara laka ya Aba Bakrin. Allah Ta'ala forgive you. In the meantime, Hazrat Umar is now coming. And Hazrat Umar, as he's approaching, Hazrat Abu Bakr can see Nabi Islam's face is changing color. And he realizes that now, perhaps Hazrat Umar is going to be reprimanded. Now look at the tawazu again. He was the aggrieved party, in a sense. He stands up on his knees in order to now totally humble himself in a gathering of sahaba. And he is now pleading with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Kuntu ana azlam ya Rasulallah. Kuntu ana azlam ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, it was my fault. I was at greater fault. Don't tell Umar anything. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then doesn't say anything to Umar radiallahu anhu, but he addresses the sahaba in general and he says, when everybody else said you have lied, Abu Bakr said you are speaking the truth. When I just gave the da'wat and when I brought Islam to everybody at the first occasion, then nobody first immediately accepted. First everybody else had something else to say. But Abu Bakr immediately said, yes, sadaqta. Others said, kazabta. Will you leave my companion for me? But the lesson that we learn in this whole thing is that lesson of tawazu, that there was a problem now. There was something that had upset two people. But what brought this entire incident in this manner, to finish off in this way, where they are now better off than before in the relationship, it is that tawazu. And unfortunately, this is a situation, unfortunately, wherever we look at it around, that we are at one another's paying for one another's blood, whatever we want to call it. Many a time, there are problems, there are difficulties, but all those things can be resolved very simply, very easily, amicably, provided there is tawazu. Then whoever is right, it is, will get his right. And whoever is wrong will accept his wrong, provided there is tawazu. And if there is no tawazu, then everybody is always right. If there is no tawazu, the one who is right also, and the one who is wrong is right also. And nobody is ever wrong then. So this lesson of tawazu, this lesson of humility, this is what brings a change in people's hearts. This is what brings people into deen. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's tawazu, we look into the books of ahadith and you can see what it was, the sahaba, even our akabir, the ahlullah, we look in their lives, every one of them, without exception. The common factor you'll find is tawazu. Ataullah Shah Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, great alim of India, And he was that kind of person that when he would start his bayan after Isha, then he would sometimes terminate with the Azan of Fajr. And not one person would move from his place. And people would be spellbound. So in any case, he was one day invited at some place, there was some occasion, some program or whatever. And then it was time for meals. So the dastarkhan was laid. One person who happened to be just standing on the side, very, very shabbily dressed. So Hazrat saw him standing just at the side. So he said, why don't you come and eat? So his reply was, okay, main to bangi hu. Bangi, nowadays if you say somebody cleans the toilets, then he also has probably a very fancy name, that is a sewer technician. But the reality there was that the bangi regarded himself as somebody who is the lowest of society. Nobody would want to come even walk close by, pass him close by. And he, the person who had that job, even regarded himself that I rather not go close to anybody. So he said, where can I come? Main to bangi ho. So, and this person wasn't even a Muslim. So he said, bangi ho to kya hua? An insan to ho. Aur insan ko to bhook lagti hai. If you're a bangi, then what? You're a human being. If you clean the toilets, what difference it makes? You're a human being, and every human being feels hungry. This person couldn't move from his spot. Hazrat woke up himself, held him by the hand, and he took him to somewhere some water was, made him wash his face and hands. And then he brought him and made him sit down with him at the dastarkhan. This person is shivering, he's trembling, he can't say anything, he can't do anything. It's beyond him. Somebody has held his hand and brought him to sit down at the dastarkhan. So because he was now in this condition, Hazrat took one lukma himself and put it in his mouth. And now this person bit that morsel, so half of it got left in Hazrat's hand. And he was still trembling, so Hazrat put the other half in his mouth. By that time, this person was so overwhelmed, he couldn't carry on eating anymore. He woke up and he went away in one corner, and he burst out crying. And after some time, he went away. After sitting there in the corner for a while, composed himself, and he went away. By the time Hazrat Shataullah Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi had finished off from that place, and as he's leaving, he sees this person standing outside, and his wife is standing alongside him, and her little child is with her, and he says, please, make me recite your kalima. Make me recite your kalima now. This is that humility. And how tragic it is that when we have this weapon of tawazu to bring people into deen, what we use is the opposite and drive people away from deen. How many times we hear this and how sad it is that when this is the example that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left for us, when the Sahaba, this is the example they left for us, this is the example that the Ahlullah and the our Akabir left for us, and our example is that how many times it happens that some non-Muslim working for somebody, he is asking some other Muslim friend of his, but why does our boss have to swear us? Why does he have to use vulgar languages at us? And then sometimes you speak to some person, trying to advise him. He says, well, this is how business works nowadays. This is how business works. In other words, if I don't swear, Allah Ta'ala won't give me rizq. If I don't use vulgar languages, Allah Ta'ala won't grant me any rozi. My business runs on swearing. My business runs on vulgar languages. This is the tawazu that brought people into iman. And with our akhlaq and the kind of conduct that we have, we are driving people away from iman. We are becoming the barrier. They have read it in the books. They have read it everywhere else. Everybody's got everything at the tip of a button in the internet. But they can't see it anywhere. They can't see what they're reading. One alim in Pakistan, he visited South Africa some years back. And he hails initially from the Jewish community. He then came into Islam and then graduated in one of the madrasas in Pakistan and then taught there as well. So his parents up to this day have not yet accepted Islam. So he says that he sometimes debates with his father or discusses with him. So his father says that all the conduct, etc., which is expressed in the books about what is Muslim conduct and what is the way of life, etc., indeed it's very good. But if it was really what is mentioned in the books, then the first people to accept it would have been you people. If you didn't accept it, then as a businessman, if I don't see you adopt using your own product, then how do you expect me to buy it? That if you're selling the product, but you're not prepared to use it, then you want to sell it to me, how can I have any confidence in it? So he says, he's speaking from a businessman's point of view, that I can't have any confidence in you. You're selling your product, but you don't have any confidence in your own product. That's the problem, unfortunately, that we have the best product. We have the best way of life. We have that which is the guarantee of peace in everything. The guarantee of the unity of hearts. The guarantee of the solution to every problem. But all we are doing is advertising it for everybody else, but it's not for us to adopt. So this tawazu is what we have to bring in our lives. When this tawazu will come, then this peace will come. When this tawazu will come, it'll be easy then to get over many, many issues. But when there's no tawazu, then the issues will just keep mounting. When there's tawazu, then we'll get safe from much haram. We'll get safe from much wastage. It might sound very difficult to understand where do these two things link up. But just one example. If there is truly tawazu, then at the occasion of a wedding, for example, then there won't be hundreds of thousands, not 100,000, hundreds of thousands of rand spent on just deco and things that just to make a name for something. Because if there's tawazu, then I don't need these things to make a name for anybody. Then I want to be the humble servant of Allah Ta'ala. If somebody says, well, this was a very dry occasion and there was no deco, so Allah Ta'ala is happy with that, where there was the least expenses incurred. So when there's tawazu, then a person won't be vying with the Joneses. And he won't want to be worrying about what the next person did, I must do something one more better style. And we're on the same, on one note, there are thousands of people dying of hunger, people who don't have a shelter over their heads, and there's money spent on deco. One person who does some catering, he mentioned that there was some lot of haggling carrying on about his bill for the food that he provided. A lot of haggling carrying on. And eventually when he went to wherever the function was, he found that the amount that was spent on the deco was more than the food bill. The amount that was spent on the deco, which all be torn and thrown away, was more than the food bill. Where this comes from? From the lack of the tawazu. If this tawazu will come, then all these things will come in place. And this is a lesson. This is what Allah Ta'ala is teaching us in this ayat. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdi. To bring this tawazu within us. To bring this humility. Wa ibadur rahmanu alladhina yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna. The true servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are very humble, walk humbly on the earth. They got no airs about themselves. They don't try to make a name for themselves in what they drive and what they weigh. Allah Ta'ala has given some ni'mat in a halal manner, alhamdulillah, shukr. But they don't make this the focus of their lives. This is something, by the way. It comes in a halal way, ni'mat, alhamdulillah, I'll make shukr, use it. But that doesn't catch their hearts. So nevertheless, this ayat of the Quran Sharif, this is the lesson that we need to take from here. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylam min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawla. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, in the short span of that, or small portion of that night, Allah ta'ala took his servant and abd to Masjid al-Aqsa. These aspects, whatever transpired on this journey, many of these things we are well aware of. We have heard it on many occasions. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met the various anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. He performed the salah, led the salah, and thereafter, Jibreel sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes him and proceeds to the seven heavens and beyond. On this occasion, the most significant thing was, together with other things, for us, the most significant thing is the gift of Mi'raj. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he walked on the face of this earth, all the other ahkam of deen came. The command of fasting came, zakat, hajj, and all the other various laws of deen. But when it came to the aspect of salah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala called him all the way up. This is a special gift. This is a special gift to your ummah. So alhamdulillah, we have such a wonderful gathering here tonight to hear about the great incident of Mi'raj. But tomorrow morning at the time of Fajr, we have to remember the gift of Mi'raj that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us. So tomorrow morning, the masjid for Fajr also should be similarly filled, wherever, whichever masjid is close by to us. That gift of Mi'raj is something we got to remember 5 times a day. And this gift of Mi'raj is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us and what he left this world with us. In the last moments of his life, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on his deathbed. And what is coming from him? As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Can you imagine? The last moments of life. A person, how seriously he takes it. My father's parting wish. My mother's parting wish. Come what may, I got to fulfill. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also knew that we take somebody's parting wish very seriously. So he said, after whatever I've said in my whole lifetime, and all the commands that I've mentioned, all the virtues I've given, all the warnings I've sounded for those who miss their salah, to the extent that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let alone the missing of the salah itself, see, it was my desire. Had it not been for the women and children in the homes, I would have gone and set fire to the homes where people are performing their salah in the home, not coming to the masjid. Not that they're not performing salah. They're performing it at home without a valid excuse. It was my desire to go and burn those homes. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after having done all that, he's leaving the world. It is his last moments. And what is at the top of his mind and heart is my parting wish that my ummah should take this salah seriously. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. And your slaves, in our context, our servants, our employees. How do we treat them? How do we conduct ourselves with them? Is there fairness? Is there justice? So in any case, this was the gift of Mi'raj. And this is what we have to hold on to. As-salatu imaduddin, man aqamaha faqad aqama ad-din, wa man hadamaha faqad hadama ad-din. The salah is the central pillar of deen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the person who looks after this pillar, the rest of deen he'll keep up. If this pillar comes crashing down, the rest of deen will come crashing down. So salah is the aspect that we have to take this message with, that my 5 times salah, inshallah, from this moment, this is the resolution within me, that not a day will go by without having performed my 5 times salah on time and with jama'ah in the masjid, unless somebody is now, there's a valid reason for not being able to make it, that's a different issue. Otherwise, with jama'ah in the masjid. This physical journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the 7 heavens and beyond, on that occasion when he was given this gift of Mi'raj, this gift of salah, this happened once in his life. And this was a physical journey, body and soul. Apart from this, there were journeys of Mi'raj in a dream also. But the dreams of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam are not dreams like we have. Their dreams are wahi. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam saw a dream. Inni ra'a fil manami anni adbahuk. Kanzur maza tara. He's saying to his son, I saw a dream, I'm slaughtering you. The son too understood, this is a wahi. He says, if alma tu'mar, my father, do it. Your command, I'm with you. So the dreams of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam is wahi. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on an occasion, like was his habit often, after the Fajr Salah, he would face the Sahaba, and then after a while, he would ask, anybody saw any dream last night? Somebody might sometimes mention something. Nabi Islam would interpret the dream. On one occasion, he asked the Sahaba, anybody saw a dream? And we said, no, we didn't. He said, walakinni ra'aytul laylata. I saw a dream last night. But this dream was no dream. It was a reality. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then mentioned that entire dream, which was Mi'raj in a dream. We should not confuse this. The Mi'raj took place once in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was body and soul. He went physically. Furija saqfu bayti. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the roof of my house opened out. And I was then taken physically. And the whole detail Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then describes in several riwayat and narrations of Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, and all the books of Ahadith. That physical journey is described in detail. Apart from that, this is the Mi'raj that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam undertook in a dream, which is wahi also, which is a reality. Time is limited. Just to briefly go through the aspects that happened on this Mi'raj. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that two people came. They were two angels. They took me along. And as we went along, I saw various amazing things. Very, very strange things. He says, first we came past. There was a person sitting there. Another person standing by his side with an iron hook. And he began tearing, this person who was sitting began tearing his cheek. First the right cheek, right up to the back of his head. And then he took the hook and he put it on the left side and he tore his cheek right to the back of his head. Can we imagine how excruciating that would be? By the time he tore the left cheek, the right cheek had become normal again. So he came to the right side. And this was ongoing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is astounded. He's asked them, what is this all about? They say to him, intaliq, walk on, move ahead. They take him, come along. There's another person, he is lying down on the ground. Second person is standing, and he has a boulder in his hand. And he then throws this boulder with force on this person's head, the person who's lying down, and it crushes his head. And this boulder rolls away. By the time this person goes to fetch that boulder, this head has assumed its normal shape again, and has become normal. And that person comes and he crushes his head again. And this is ongoing. Again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks, what is this? He says, no, you move ahead. They come to the third person. The third person is battling to swim out of a river of blood. And as he comes close to the bank, person is standing at the bank with stones. He takes a stone and with force pushes it into the mouth of this person, throws it into his mouth, as a result of which he ends up back into the midst of this blood, this river of blood, and he battles his way back, and this is carrying on. Then the beast Lawson comes in a kind of furnace or an oven for our understanding in the ground. And there's a huge fire in there. And there are naked men and women in it. And this fire, as it rises and these people are shrieking in pain, and it appears they will come out of this place, the fire just subsides and they go back down. And then again this whole process starts again. And this is ongoing. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finally says to them, after many other things, time is limited, we can't go into all the details. He asked them that you have taken me around today and I've seen very, very strange things. I've never seen this kind of things before. What is the meaning of all this? So now the angels start explaining. See, the first person, the person who you saw, that his cheeks were being torn, this is kazzab. Person who had the habit of lying. And he would lie and that lie would then spread. And this would continue, this would be his punishment which will continue till the day of Qiyamah. And nowadays lying has become an art. Sometimes a person after lying then he turns around to others who sometimes even know that he lied. See, so I pulled the wool over his eyes. He didn't know what hit him. And sometimes it's just, somebody says that, really that happened, you told that person this. He says, no, well I just pulled a fast one. I just shot him. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're shooting our iman. This is how serious this aspect of lying is. In the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when a person lies, the stench that emanates from his mouth due to that lie, the angels flee to the extent of 1 mile due to that stench. It's just that the human beings don't get it, but the angels get it. Now the angels of Rahmat are all far away, a mile away. So what is close by then? There's no vacuum. If the angels of Rahmat are gone so far away, then Shayateen are there. Then the Shayateen are going to incite further. So lying is a major thing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says a mu'min and lying can't happen. Mu'min and lying, not possible. So this is the first aspect that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was explained about. That this is the punishment of the person who lies. And nowadays sometimes we speak maybe a thousand lies at a press of a button. That we become party to circulating a lie. Somebody sent us a lie. We didn't verify it. We have no idea what the truth is. And sent to all. One button. Sent to all. That email or that SMS or whatever. And now we sent it to 100 people. In one press of a button, we became a party to 100 lies. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this too is enough for a person to become a liar. That he just keeps relating everything he hears. This will make him a liar also. this was the first aspect. Then the second thing, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw these angels explaining to him that the person who you saw, his head was being crushed. And this is the person, رَجُلٌ عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ الْقُرْآنِ فَنَامَ عَنْهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِهِ بِالنَّهَارِ. That person, Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq. And every one of us has learned the Quran Sharif to some point. Somebody more, somebody less. The person who Allah Ta'ala gave him the Quran Sharif, he bears the Quran in his heart. But neither he recited it at night, and he didn't practice upon it on the day. He too was in the clubs and wherever. He too was doing anything and everything. He is too, instead of looking into the pages of the Quran Sharif, he also is looking on some haram site somewhere. Not that it is permissible for anybody else. Everybody is equally haram. But the person who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with the Quran Sharif, then it becomes a double crime for him. So this is that the person who Allah Ta'ala blessed with the Quran Sharif, and he neither recited it at night, this gives the lesson that a person who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with the Quran Sharif, some part of the night must be dedicated for the Quran Sharif, for the recitation of the Quran Sharif, and the practice of the Quran Sharif throughout the day and night, throughout one's life. Otherwise, this is a very serious punishment. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself has highlighted that yassira wa la tu'assira, that give people those things that are easy to understand, bring up their spirits, make them come closer, but at the same, in the same breath, while that is the thing to be done more, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained this. That we have gathered, that there's an occasion that we have heard about, as we've understood earlier, that there's no recurring virtue for this. But nevertheless, we've gathered to hear something, then we should understand what is this message in all this, in the aspect of mi'raj, the physical mi'raj, the gift of salah, and this mi'raj by night, this mi'raj in a dream. What was the lesson therein? The wahi that came in there. These are the lessons that we're going to discuss. So in any case, this is a lesson for those whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with this great gift of the Kalamullah, the Quran Sharif in their hearts and bosoms. And for that matter, anyone and everyone, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with some portion of the Quran Sharif. We know Surah Yasin by heart. We know at least the last 10 surahs by heart. We know some portion or the other. We know Surah Fatiha at least. We also have the Quran Sharif. And besides, we are being explained from time to time what is in the Quran Sharif, what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. So we go to practice on that. Then the third thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being told about, that person who was swimming in the river of blood, actually the sequence was the other way around. The third thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw and was explained about was that furnace or oven. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that these, the angels explained to him that these are the people of your ummah who indulge in adultery and fornication. These are the humus zunat, those who indulge themselves in this haram. This is their punishment, which will continue till the day of Qiyamah. And unfortunately, that this is something which is becoming a scourge of society. Many a times when we talk about this or hear about it, so sometimes we feel that, okay, this does apply to me. But have we really seen within ourselves? Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. If certain levels of this terrible crime Allah Ta'ala saved us from it, alhamdulillah. But are we completely free of it? Are we totally clear from it? Have we understood that there is zina of the eyes also? Zina al-ayni an-nazr, which is the precursor for whatever follows thereafter. Nazratun fa-btisamun fa-salamun fa-kalamun fa-maw'idun fa-liqa'un. When Paul gives it, the whole aspect is in one line. He says first there's a glance, but then the person casts that wrong glance, so then he suddenly smiles, and after he smiles, and now only he remembers that, you know, salam, the great sunnat. He passed 1,000 Muslim brothers, he didn't remember that salam was a sunnat. And now suddenly when he's not supposed to make salam, now he remembered there's so many fazail of making salam, so he's making salam now. And after the salam, فَابْتِسَامٌ فَسَلَامٌ, then there's some conversation, فَكَلَامٌ فَمَوْعِدٌ, and then there's an appointment, and there's a meeting. And now this is all happening again by pressing buttons. And this is causing havoc in society. Let us take note of this. This technology is a very useful thing. Very useful. It's as useful as that Qurbani knife that slaughters the ox. Who can deny the use of it? What a great ibadat is fulfilled with it. Can bring an old, entire ox down. And this great ibadat is fulfilled. But nobody gives that knife in the hand of a child. Because it's a very dangerous thing also. Very useful, but very dangerous. And most of us, unfortunately, with this technology in our hands, we are like a child with a Qurbani knife. And we are slaughtering anything and everything in our way. We are slaughtering and cutting down and severing our marriages. And even chopping down our iman. Haya is gone. And in the name of, things are given then Islamic names. You'll even find people quoting some ayats, misquoting. Misquoting ahadith to give everything some justification. Nowadays there's no shortage of justification. Anything. This is something Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam foretold. A time will come when people will change the names of things and legitimize it. We are already in that era of legitimization. Everything is legitimized by just playing with names. But that doesn't make it legitimate. If the reality is still the same, it's the same. So this, all this chatting that goes on, the BBM, the Bahut Bari Musibat, and all these other WhatsApp and Twitter and whatnot carries on, these are not playing things. It's causing havoc. And every other day there's a problem that stems out from these things. And many a times young people say, well, now I'm still young, so this fine, later in life I'll give it all up. But this is a very, very attractive serpent. It attracts, it catches a person in his clutches, and later on it comes to bite him. How many people it came back later to bite them in their lives? Person now eventually even made sincere tawbah. And these are real life incidents, I'm not talking hypothetical things. Person made genuine tawbah, and he got married. And 1 month down the line, his wife is receiving all the messages that he made tawbah from it already. Alhamdulillah, he made tawbah between him and Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah, it's forgiven already. But it already damaged his marriage. Then there were some so-called profile pictures. Those pictures are not permissible. Call it whatever we want. Now those pictures are coming back. They're taking a U-turn. All kinds of pictures. And now the trust is broken. And now whatever the problems that ensue thereafter. And many a person gave it up, but then he was so deeply in it before marriage. Now after marriage, that after 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, now the novelty of marriage has worn out a little bit. Now the old things are all surfacing again. Because it's still somewhere in the system. And the problems then that ensue after that. So this is something also that we have to be very, very conscious about what is taking place. That we now become conscious and don't get involved in this. Then the last thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shown and was explained about, this person who was swimming in this river of blood, the angels explained to him that this is the person, Akilur Riba. These were the people who consumed interest in the world. This indulgence in interest, this is clearly prohibited. And here again, names will change, whatever. Person says, well, I made a very my clean investment. And sometimes the person is not even asking the question. He's not even asking the question. He's trying to explain what a smart businessman I am. What an investment I made. I got no risk involved. I just put my money down and I will get, that business will carry on and I'll get 20%. What a clean deal I made. By that, it's clean, pure. The word pure is totally misplaced here, but nevertheless to understand it, pure interest. Totally, we should say, rather impure interest. Through and through. If there is no risk involved, there is no profit. You can call it by any name. Person says, well, I gave that person, and again, as I'm explaining that, this is what sometimes people are not even asking the question. After the event, the person in passing just mentions, and a person is trying to actually say how generous I am. I gave that person a loan, my brother, you know, 1 million rand, he wanted, I gave him the loan. I said, you know, don't you just pay the zakat on my behalf. That's all, you pay the zakat on my behalf. So every year he'll pay the 25,000 rands. So there's 25,000 rands interest being written in your account. So This is the reality. Let us find out before the event, what are we doing? And thereafter, this is the income that comes into the stomachs of our children. And ya ayyuha ar-rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu saliha. Allah Ta'ala gives the anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the messengers, gives them this command. O messengers of Allah Ta'ala, eat that which is pure and wholesome and do righteous actions. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, what question can there be about them eating something that is not pure? But the message is for their followers. That if you want to have righteous actions, one vital aspect is good and wholesome food. Pure nourishment. To the extent that that nourishment will be pure, to that extent that blood that will pump through that heart will be pure. And that will bring pure thoughts. And that will bring pure inclinations. And the reverse will apply as well. To the extent that things are in some way tainted, in whichever way it's tainted, to whatever extent it's tainted, to that extent it will bring impure blood into that heart. And impure inclinations. How many times a person says, that, I don't know, something has just happened. Everything has just suddenly just fizzled out of my life. I was making tilawat every day, 2 paras I was reading, tasbihat and zikr, and I used to wake up for tahajjud every night, and suddenly everything is flat. And then in the course of discussion, then he says, yes, well, I think I ate something which I shouldn't have eaten in that place. There's a direct link. So, our earnings, halal earnings. So these are the things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw on this occasion, which the angels had explained to him, what is the meaning of it. This is the lesson that we've got to take. These are the things that we have to go back with. The aspect of tawazu and humility. This is that vital ingredient we have. And this doesn't come just by listening to one talk. It doesn't come like that. Neither will come in me by giving one talk, and won't come in anyone by listening to one talk. This is something that comes by putting ourselves in a process. All the various efforts of deen that are meant to bring full deen in our lives. The work of da'wat and tabligh, where a person dedicates himself, goes out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, in a kind of environment that is conducive to deen, all kinds of conditions, all kinds of situations, he's humbly tolerating whatever everybody's likes and dislikes and preferences and whatever else, and he has to do whatever, he has to suppress many of his own needs and comforts and whatever. In that process, a person goes through that process correctly, it creates tawazu to a great extent. Person submits himself to the Ahlullah, submits himself to somebody over him, but not just for name, not just for barakat. Barakat will come without even asking for the barakat. That barakat will come. Many a times, the only thing we talk to the mashayikh about is, mashallah, last night I saw in the dream I was flying around. But how are you walking on the earth? Talk about that. How you spend your night in the dream, that we talk about. But how we walk around while we awake, that we don't talk about. That we don't discuss. How did I conduct myself? Somebody told me something, what was my reaction? Forget, bring the roof down, I brought the sky down. So how, was that correct? Is this the way that I should have conducted myself? What should I have done? No, you shouldn't have done this. You should go and now sort it out. This one incident is again just coming to mind now. Of how this works. What is this process all about? And I think this will be a befitting way to terminate this program. That we are sitting here on this chair which was occupied and which is actually a kind of disrespect that we are sitting on this chair today. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, to finish up on one incident of his. And there's so many aspects in his life that we could have spoken on today. The tawazu that we spoke about earlier. Anybody who's sitting here is witness to that. We don't need to go into the incidents. But nevertheless, there's one particular aspect we will terminate on. One person mentioned that there was some supplier came to supply him some goods in the town that he lives. And supplier told him, look, you sell this at 100 rands. For example, you sell it at 100 rands. Because others also in this, 2-3 people I've supplied to. So everybody will sell at the same price. We don't want to create a problem. Very well. One day one person comes, he's selling it at 100 rands. Person comes, says, how much? He says, 100 rands. He says, but the other person, the other corner is selling it for 90 rands. Why are you selling it for 100? He says, no, everybody's selling for 100.
She says, no, he said E for 90. In any case, he went away. This person sent one of his staff members with the money, go, buy it and come. So he went and bought it. Bought it from the other shop for 90 rands. With the invoice, the slip. So now that he had the evidence, he phoned the supplier. You told me sell for 100 rands only. Don't sell for below 100 rands. I'm keeping to the deal. This person now is selling for 90 rands. So in any case, the next day, the supplier, there's the evidence. That the supplier phoned the person. And whatever he might have told him. So that person was now in problems with the supplier. Maybe he told him, I'm not going to supply you anymore. So that person happened to know, the supplier happened to know that this brother had taluk with Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh. So he phoned Hazrat to complain. So and so is your murid. And now he's making trouble for me. Now the supplier doesn't want to supply me. So that person that night received a call. So it was late in the evening. Says, I never ever received a call at this time from Hazrat at any time. So I was a bit startled. So says, something has come to my attention that did you complain to some supplier about a person selling something at a different price? He said, yes, but the agreement was that everybody will sell at 100 rands. Well, I said, forget that agreement. What is the benefit of your association with me then? Why are you associating with me then? Is your association with me just so that you could be also identified as part of a group? So long you're associating with me, has this not reduced the love of the world in your heart? Where is your tawakkul? Has your tawakkul not come yet? That if somebody else is selling for 90 rands, he's not going to affect your rozi? He's not going to affect your risk in any way? Now tomorrow you go and ask him for maaf. And then you phone me and inform me also. Now this is that islah taking place. And this is what crushes that ego. This is what brings that tawazu. That a person now had to swallow his pride. And as we say, he had to put his tail between his legs and go. And now he must go and ask for maaf to somebody he doesn't like. Now that is what brings that tawazu thereafter. And that is what brings that humility. When a person submits himself to somebody. And he doesn't only talk about what he dreamt. He talk about what he did while he was awake also. So this is the process. That we genuinely associate with ourselves, with the Ahlullah, with the Mashayikh, whoever our heart takes to. And we keep ourselves in the efforts of deen. Alhamdulillah, this ijtima that is going to take place next week. All for the same purpose. How we can bring this entire deen in our lives. How this tawazu can come in our lives. How this salah, this gift of mi'raj, can become part and parcel of our lives. How this tongue can stop speaking lies. It can only speak the truth. How the Quran Sharif that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, we can practice on it, we can recite it. That our business comes in order, that interest goes out of our life. And all the other haram activities, everything comes out of our life. That's the only purpose. There's no other objective. So we should become part and parcel of this. Make that our time available, that we dedicate our time to being there in the ijtima, to listening with that purpose and objective that this must come in my life. To associate ourselves with the Ahlullah, not just for the sake of barakat. Barakat will come. But how we can bring this reality in our hearts and how we can become those kind of believers who Allah tabarak wa ta'ala becomes pleased with and who on the day of Qiyamah, when we will come in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be overjoyed to greet us and meet us and he will embrace us and give us that water from his well of Kawthar. That will be our real day of rejoicing. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bless me and all of us. With these things, may Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq of practicing, give all of us the tawfiq of practicing. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allah give the dua. Allahu lak alhamdu kulluhu wa lak ash-shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an 'alayk anta kama athnayta 'ala nafsik. Jazallahu 'anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu 'alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين إله العالمين يا الله ہمارے تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما تمام سیئات کو درگزر فرما إله العالمين forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله إله العالمين يا الله whatever we have committed in the darkness of the night يا الله forgive it إله العالمين forgive the sins of the day يا الله forgive what we have done deliberately يا الله forgive the mistakes we have committed يا الله إله العالمين forgive us يا الله forgive our families يا الله forgive our friends يا الله Allahu al-alamin, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, forgive the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties from the ummah, ya Allah. Allah, we're acknowledging whatever the conditions are prevailing is due to our actions. Ilahul Alameen, forgive us, Ya Allah. Give us a tawfiq of doing those actions that bring down your rahmat, Ya Allah. Save us from those actions that bring down your wrath and azab, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, grant us all the sifat of iman, Ya Allah. Grant us the tawazu, Ya Allah. Grant us humility in our lives, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, enable us to perform our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us that ability to perform every salah with khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, let our salah be the coolness of, Ya Allah, our eyes, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq of fulfilling all the commands of deen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Keep our tongues safe from every evil, Ya Allah. Save us from lying, Ya Allah. Save us from backbiting, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from every other evil of the tongue, Ya Allah. Save us from the evils of the eyes, Ya Allah. Save us from looking at haram, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Save us from all kinds of evils and sins, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima. Ilahul Alameen, those who are in financial difficulties, remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, those who are without jobs, give them halal and tayyib rizq, Ya Allah. Give them good jobs, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, those who are in any kind of difficulty and hardship, remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who have passed away, fulfill their qabrs with noor, Ya Allah. Make their complete maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, give them the high stages in the akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, wa Hazrat Allah, give them the high stages in Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, give him the closeness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, give him a special place in A'la Illiyin, Ya Allah. All our mashayikh, Ya Allah, raise their ranks, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, give sabr, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, himmat to all Hazrat's associates, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, his khuddam, his family, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are, Ya Allah, you protect them, Ya Allah. You safeguard them, Ya Allah. Safeguard their iman, Ya Allah. Safeguard their amal, Ya Allah. Safeguard their akhlaq, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, safeguard their lives, their wealth, their property, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever good Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked for, Ya Allah, we are also begging for that good. Ya Allah, whatever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge from, Ya Allah, grant us refuge from that as well, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all the things that are, Ya Allah, we've spoken about, give us a tawfiq to make amal upon it, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, the upcoming ijtima, Ya Allah, you make it a success, Ya Allah. Make all the intizam easy, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make it a means of hidayat spreading far and wide, Ya Allah. Make it a means of the hearts turning towards you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, bless us also, Ya Allah. Bless the entire ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min sharri masta'adaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'ali al-'azim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.